privilege over this week to go to our church conference in Greenville, me and my wife, and we had a wonderful time. We were able to hear a lot of the guest speakers that came and spoke, and we just had a wonderful time, and we've got a lot of friends in our, even in our organization, that we had not seen in quite a while, and we were able to hook up with them and talk with them. And so it was almost like a church family reunion. I don't know if you've ever been to a family reunion, but it was like getting into talking with everyone that you haven't seen in quite a while. But it was definitely a wonderful time, and we definitely enjoyed it. And it is good that I can be back with you again, and that we can get into to God's Word today. And so if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. Matthew's Gospel, 14 and 22. And the title of my message today is this: Assurance in the Storm. Assurance in the storm. And I want you to know that there are times in our life that you and I are going to go through some storms of life. And you may tell me today, well, Pastor, I'm not really going through a storm right now. You know, everything is doing great. I'm really fine and got it together. You know, everything is just great. And that might be true. That might be true. But somewhere along the way, if you stay in this world long enough, and as you live in this world, there's somewhere along the way you're going to hit a storm. I've hit many storms. And I know today there could be people that could tell me that they have been through some storms. You might be going through a storm right now. And it's not for me to know. That's between you and God. But we all go through storms of life. But I want you to know today, as I share with you in God's Word, that there is an assurance that God will help you through the storms of life, even in the eye of the storm. And when you get into the eye of the storm, that is the heart. That is the very nucleus of the middle of everything that's going on. If it's chaos, if it is things that you just don't know what you're going to do, you don't know which ends up, you may be wringing your hands, you might be walking the floor wanting to know, is there a God in heaven that can help me out of my storm? I want to share with you today, there is assurance that He will not only help you in the storm, He'll take you out of the storm. And I want you to know that today. And I want us to look at this a little bit in Matthew's Gospel 14 and 22. The assurance within the storm. Immediately Jesus made. Look at this very closely because we're going to break this down. Immediately Jesus made His disciples. Made His disciples. Didn't ask them. Didn't suggest it. He made them get into the boat. I want you to know today that God sees the storm before you go in the storm. God sees your circumstance and your situation before it comes to you. Don't think for a moment that you just go in it and you say, well, God, here I am, or God, this is what... God already knew. He foreknew before you got started. That's why God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He saw you and created you before the seed began to develop in your heart and in your lives. So don't think for a moment that God does not know, because He already knows before you were even developed. Now that's a God that you and I cannot even begin to fathom How unsearchable are his ways? They are far past finding. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. And so therefore, we must understand that God sees us in his best interest as we live in this life. So I want you to know today, as we look at this passage, Jesus is telling, not just suggesting it, he is telling them to get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself, and look at this, to pray. So while he's sending his disciples, telling them to get in that boat, Jesus begins to get in the mountains and he begins to pray. What do you think he's doing? He's praying to the Heavenly Father because he wants to make sure that he's connected with the Father before he begins to move anywhere else. That's why the Bible says that Jesus is forever interceding for you and I. Do you know that? Jesus is going to the Heavenly Father. He is going to God Almighty, and he is saying, look at my brother, look at my sister, look at what's going on. And he's going before the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and making way of interceding for you and I. Look at what the scripture says here. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Oh my God, what is that walking on the water? But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds were boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. I want you to know today that there is assurance that Jesus is letting us know day by day that he is there with us every step of the way. He doesn't just come in your life and go out of your life. He just doesn't suddenly just pass by and then passes on to something else. Jesus stays with you from day in to day out. You say, well, Pastor, how can he do that? He does that by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the Comforter has come, and the Comforter is in us to comfort us and let us know and gives us the assurance that every day of our life, as we continue to surrender to His Lordship, and as we continue to say, Lord, be faithful in my life, as you become faithful to Him as a servant, It doesn't mean we get it right all the time. It doesn't mean that we're on cloud nine all the time, because there's times that we'll go through the valleys. There's times that we'll go through the testing of our faith. There will be those times that we're tried, we're tempted by the enemy. There's things that we deal with, but understand the assurance that we have is not in yourself. It's not the assurance in your pastor. It's not the assurance in the laity, but it's in the assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that will sustain you and take care of you every step of the way. Why? Because He went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose, hallelujah, on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father. Therefore, you and I have victory today, and we are assured that our faith lies within the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ had just fed, as we look at this passage, had just fed the 5,000 and sent His disciples across the lake while He went to pray. Now, I want you to know today, for us to continue to have the assurance that we need of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not for us to start praying when trouble hits our lives. It is not for us to call on Jesus on the last resort. And I do believe that in life, sometimes we'll say, I don't want to bother you, Jesus. God, I don't want to bother you in those big heavens up there because you're busy right now. And I'll call you when I need you, but right now I can handle it. When you say you can handle it, that's your first mistake, because you will not have the assurance in the things that you're dealing with in life, because God is not in competition. God is not going to compete with other things that become your God. Whatever it may be that you're taking the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not going to be in competition. Therefore, we need to understand that when we fully surrender to His Lordship and we say, Lord, You are Lord of all. If You're not Lord of all, You are not Lord at all. Because God wants to be number one in your life. He wants you to understand that the assurance is in Him. But let us understand, we must talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed to His Father. When the Bible lets us know, before He went to the cross, He went into Gethsemane. And He was there praying, agonizing with God before crucifixion. And the Bible says His sweat became as drops of blood. And He began to pray in the humanity. He was human. The humanity was coming out of Him. And He was saying, Lord, let this cup pass from Me. And He never heard back from the Father. And He was still praying. He was still agonizing. In other words, God was working to put the world on His shoulders, because His Father knew He was going to the cross for all sin and penalty to be paid for. And when He did not hear it back from His Heavenly Father, He said, Lord, not My will. That's the humanity in Him. Lord, not My will, but Your will be done. In other words, it was not about Him. And I want you to know today, this thing in life becomes much bigger than just me and you. It's not so much about me. It's not about what you want to do, what you want to say, where you want to go, what you want to do. Understand that Jesus wants to be in the center of your heart and life, and He wants a personal relationship with you on a daily basis. He just doesn't want a relationship on Sunday. He doesn't just want a relationship on Wednesday night. But He wants a relationship on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. He wants a personal relationship with you. And this is how we get the assurance that Jesus is going to show up in your heart and in your life. And you're going to be reassured, Because guess what? You have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My first point today is this. God brought you here. You can go into a storm while right in the center of God's will. How can that be in God's will? It can be. And you're in the center of the storm. That could be God's will. God may be putting you in a storm for a reason. And we want to shake our fist at God and say, God, why are you allowing this? Why are you doing it? Maybe God is doing this to get your attention. Maybe the affliction, if it comes through financially, maybe it comes through physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it may be, they may be some things that's happening because God has to get our attention so that we can be reassured that He is with us every step of the way. If you take on your own problem and your circumstance and situation, you're going to make a big mess out of it. But when you relinquish it, when you say, Lord, I fully surrender to your Lordship. God, I've been making a mess of this. It just seems like I'm going one step forward and three steps back. It just seems like I can't get a break, Lord. What is going on? Maybe God is allowing these things to happen to say, will you call on me? Will you talk with me? Will you communicate with me? Will you let me know about your problems? You say, well, Pastor, He's God. He knows my problems. No, but God wants to hear you say something to Him because He wants a personal relationship with you. Listen. They were doing what Jesus had directed them to do. God brought them there. God brings us where we're at. Problems are not a sure sign of His displeasure. A lot of times problems may come to get our attention. Romans 8:28, the Apostle Paul writes and he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are all the called according to His purpose. All things. I don't know how. You may ask me, well, Pastor, how? All things. That's what God's Word says. He says all things work together. All things work together for good to those, if you love God and you want God to have His way in your life, all things will work out every time. Every time God will do a great and mighty thing in your life if you fully surrender to Him. Listen, there is a purpose to our being in the storm. Sometimes it puts us in a storm to keep from sinning. Sometimes it puts us in a storm to prepare for new ministry. Yes, sometimes we have a storm that goes on because God may be sectioning you and putting you in to a place for a new ministry. Maybe there's a new walk, there's a new way, there's new doors that are being opened. You know, when God closes doors, He opens up a window. And a lot of times when we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, there may be something new that God may be wanting to do in your life that's never been done in the past, because the past is the past. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't retrieve yesterday. Yesterday is gone. And now this is a brand new day. A new day is dawning. There's a new beginning. God clearly may be wanting you to do something new. Sometimes it puts us in a storm to draw us closer to Him and cause us to get closer to each other. My second point is this. God is mindful of you. His mind is on you. Even when you were a sinner, and those that are saved today, you're saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. But even when you were a sinner and your mind was far from the Lord Jesus Christ, He had His mind on you. I don't care if you were partying. I don't care if you're snorting up, shooting up, boozing up, whatever you're doing. Jesus Christ is mine is on you. That's the love of God. When your friends may forsake you, maybe your friends have turned their back on you. Maybe they don't like what you're doing. Maybe they don't like what you're saying. Maybe they don't like where you're going. Jesus still has his mind on you. That's why the devil is doing everything he can to keep you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he doesn't want you to read your Bible. That's why he doesn't want you to come to church. That's why he doesn't want you to do that, because he doesn't want you to communicate with God. Because he knows that something great and mighty would take place in your life if you fully surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can't compete with that. Listen, the demons, they even believe and they tremble. They know the mighty work of God. They know who God is. So I want to reassure you today that God is in it for your best interest. He loves you. He created you. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to magnify. Why? Because he's a loving God. He doesn't want to hold back anything. He's not holding back on his love and his grace and his mercy and unmerited favor. He's not holding back. He wants to surrender it all to you. He wants to give you all. He wants to give you so much you can't even obtain it. You can't even hold on to it. You can't even pocket. You can't even. Listen, it's like a glass of water that's running over. It's flowing over. It keeps flowing and you're trying to grab it. That's what God does. He overflows with his love and grace and mercy so that you will be reassured that in the eye of the storm that there's no doubts, there's no fears, there's nothing to second guess or question, because God will be God, because he's a faithful God and he loves us. And he doesn't want us to perish, but he wants us to have everlasting life. God is mindful of you. Christ knew where they were and what was going on. God knew the repercussion of the disciples, what they would say, what they would do. He already knew that. But he said, go. Listen, Psalms 34 and 18, the psalmist writes and says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Jesus says, he that exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And I want you to know today that God is not looking for the proud. He's not looking for the boast. He's not looking for the I've got it all together. He is looking for those that's willing. Being humble doesn't mean you're weak. Humility doesn't mean you're weak. In other words, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will exalt you in due time. The Lord is forever gracious to you and I, because he has a love unto us that he bled and died on Calvary's cross. He could have called 10,000 angels to take him off that cross, but he stayed on the cross. He could have came off the cross, but he stayed on the cross. Why? Because he was mindful of you and I. His prayer doubtlessly includes them. Moses on the mountain praying for Israel. Christ on the mountain praying for his disciples. Third, God will come to you. God will come to you. If you feel deserted, God will come to you. God comes at darkest hours to teach us not to depend on circumstances. Now hear me today. God comes at darkest hours when you don't even think God is around, that you don't even think God's going to help you. God comes at darkest hours when the enemy says, I've got you now. You at the dead end. You can't look up. You can't look back. You can't go nowhere. I got you now. God comes at the darkest hours to teach us not to depend on circumstances. The enemy wants you to depend on your circumstances. He wants you to depend on the ability that he thinks that you don't have. And he preys on it. But listen, you are victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given you the power. He has given us the power. He has given us. Why has he given us the power? Because he went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father. And therefore, you and I have power on high because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, storms are often preludes to miracles. Storms are never pleasant experiences unless safety is sure. The things that frightens you is often Christ's ways of coming near to you. He will use the vehicle of the storm in your life to show you who he is, not what he does. Now, God can do a lot of great things, mighty things. But we don't serve God for what he can do for us. We serve God because of who he is. And what he does follows of who he is. Some will say, well, Pastor, if he'll just help me buy this house or buy this car or get this or get that, then I'll serve him. No, we don't do that. You've got it all mixed up. You serve God because of what he's already done on Calvary's cross, and because of who he is, and because of who he is follows everything else. In other words, it follows pursuit. Isaiah 43 and 2 says this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Now listen, that's a promise from God Almighty. That's a promise. You need to mark that in your Bible. Because when the enemy comes to you and the enemy tells you that you're this and that and you're not going to do that, listen, when you pass through the things in life that get you down, God says, I will be with you through the rivers. It doesn't matter. Water, river. River continuously flows. Water can stay and stagnate. It can stay in one area. Rivers can continue to flow. Things can continue to happen. Rivers will represent things that you'll get through one thing and another one will come up. You'll get through another and another thing will come up. You'll get through that. It doesn't matter. Through the water that sits still, through the rivers of life, of the darts and the things that keep hitting you and knocking you and hitting you. Listen, through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk, we're going from water to fire. In other words, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isaiah the prophet is speaking here, and he's saying it doesn't matter if it's water, if it's river, if it's fire. When you go through it, listen to what he says. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch anything on you. That's the God that I'm serving. Today, he knows you inside and out, and there is an assurance that he will sustain and take care of you every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I get loud, I know. You won't go to sleep in my church. So don't go. You won't go to sleep in my church. I get loud, I get proud, and I get excited. I'm not one of those quiet preachers. I get, you know, Billy Graham used to be a fiery preacher in his younger days. You go back and look at some of his sermons. Listen, God clearly lets us know that He loves us. He has not forsaken us. Fourth, I'm getting closer to my closing. I know I'm getting right here at it. God will help you grow. God will help you grow through your circumstance. Because we learn through our circumstances. You and I make mistakes in our life. I've made plenty of mistakes. You've made plenty of mistakes. But guess what? Through our mistakes, we learn from it. Why? Because we don't want to go back and do the same mistake. I don't want to go back on the mistakes that I've made. I want to learn from my mistake and say, hey, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to go through that again. So we learn from our mistakes. So God helps us to grow in our mistakes. Christ tries to teach us to trust Him. Peter got the idea. He finally realized that he had to get his eyes off of him and get his eyes on Jesus. That's what we have to do. Get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on the cross. Get your eyes on Jesus and let Jesus navigate your life day in and day out. Because if you get your eyes on yourself, you're going to make a big mess out of it. Because you're not going to go nowhere. You're just going to spin around in circles. But you will make progress when your eyes are fixed on Him. Peter walked on the water in the storm and in the dark with his eyes on Jesus to find the Christian life. He sank because he got his eyes off the Lord. Don't criticize Peter. He had a word and walked on water. We have a whole Bible and we can't walk on the sidewalk, but we've got the word in front of us that we can begin to read and digest that day in and day out, that we have that assurance. We don't enjoy the storms of life, but God employs the storms in our lives. Five, God will see you through. Faith remembers the promise. He told them, I will see you on the other side. I will see you on the other side. They had to get there. He will bring you out of the storm. You will get to know Him better and better. Keep your eyes on Him and in the Word. Mark 4:39, then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace. Be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You will reach the shore. We are in a storm. And God brought us here. He knows we're here. He will come to us. He will see us through. But He wants us to grow in the storm. Hear me today. Just because the storm comes through, it goes much further. He wants us to grow in our storms because we're all going to have storms of life, but He wants us to grow from it. But guess what? You're not on an island by yourself. You're not alienated from the world. You're not alienated from your church. You're not alienated from your friends because we're all in this thing together. What storms are you right now that God may be using to grow your faith? What storms are you in right now that God may be using to grow your faith? Have you invited Jesus into your boat? Have you invited Him into your boat? Have you seen Him from a distance? Are you looking at Him from a distance? Have you invited Him in your boat, or are you trying to row it alone? Well, I'm trying. I'm getting there. And you're not getting anywhere you think you are, but all that energy that you're doing is not getting you there. Listen, what is your step? What is your step? Step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. What is God asking you to do in faith? See, for us to please God,
We have to ask in faith. For you to please God, everything must be in faith. Without faith, we cannot do anything. Faith plays a vital part in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is very important. Did you know Jesus couldn't even heal without one saying, "I believe, I believe"? When one said, "I believe," Jesus said, "Do you believe I can heal?" He was waiting to hear what the person would say. And they said, "I believe." And when Jesus heard them say, "I believe," then they were healed. Jesus wants us to know. He is just at the mention of His name, but He also wants us to know, do you believe? Do you believe? Listen, there's no doubts, there's no fears with the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is not a God of fear. He's a God of a sound mind. Stand with me across the building today. Listen, God does not want us to perish, but He wants us to have everlasting life. John 3:16 says, in a very familiar passage, and